I've never been treated so well in my life as the people in this audience. It's amazing. It's a beautiful sight. And we're all Americans for one reason, because we love God, we love our country. And with that, Tom, I'm gonna let you go. I'll be talking to you later. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mark, everybody else here. Tricia, a dear friend of mine back in the 80s. She has been on this trail for so long. It's amazing. And I will start in Tricia wrote an article. I was a guest speaker in the 80s at the old Spotlight newspaper. And she wrote an article, and it was read by two industrialists, great men, Ben and Ted Grobe, in Grafton, Wisconsin. They were going to name the library the Grobe Library, but after they heard my speech, they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to name it the USS Liberty Memorial Library. And guess what happened? Outrage became enormous from the Jewish community in Wisconsin. They said that name, USS Liberty Memorial Library, is anti-Semitic, and it should never be erected or built. The two men that donated over $1 million plus, ten in bed, my dear friends, they are gone now. But they said, okay, fine. You can name it what you want to, but I'm taking all the money back. No, forget it. We're going to name it the USS Liberty Memorial Library. So thank you, Trish, for that. Without that, we would never have gotten that library. And you deserve all the credit. Thank you. I want to thank Jesus Christ, my Lord, and my Savior. That's the only reason I'm here right now, talking to you, because he gave me the power. He gave me the power to speak that my 34 dead shipmates did not have the power to speak. They're dead, but I'm their voice. I've been their voice for so many years, I can't tell you. Over 42 years at least. My wife, my family, Lisa, what a wonderful woman. I love her. We've been married 42 years coming up next month, June the 19th, and that's a pleasure. I have five children. Frankie, August from my ex-wife, Shirlene, almost forgot her name. And they're great kids. They're in the medical field. And my sons and my other daughter, Deidre, she was our firstborn with Lisa. And then Bryce, and then Shane. Bryce enlisted in the military during the Afghan War. My other son enlisted in the military. He's a Navy SEAL. He's still in. He was in SEAL Team 6, a very covert group of people, the best in the world. Very proud of all my kids. Bryce, Deidre, in Shane. USS Liberty is a story that's been covered up for far too long. You've never heard it because it was covered up. They used us, the crew of the USS Liberty, to be eliminated by the Zionist State of Israel. LBJ and a handful of others, McNamara is a good example. They got this cabal of a few people together to send us into a war zone. Our usual steaming was from Norfolk, Virginia into Africa. We go up and down the coast all the time, 4 or 5 knots, picking up signals out of the sky. It's perfectly legal. Everybody did it. We were the most sophisticated spy ship in the world at that time. the most sophisticated. We could bounce messages off the moon and get them back to National Security Agency within 3 seconds. In 1967, think about that. So what do you think they got now? There's no telling. There's just no telling. I saved this for you, too. You have another gift. Tom? Come on up. Sacrificing Liberty, a four-part series with survivors and trusted American admirals and generals. Right here. Thank you, Tom. I recommend everybody go on to YouTube, watch it, or Rumble. Rick Wiles, he produced that film, a great guy. And I got to mention a dear, dear friend of mine, too, another great guy, is Pastor Chuck Baldwin in Kalispell, Montana. I've been with Chuck for a few times, several times. Broken bread together. I've listened to his sermons, but he tells it the way it is. I mean, the truth is the truth. And no matter, you can't hide the truth, but I'm still here because of the gallant crew of the USS Liberty and our determination not to give up. We were ordered into the Mediterranean from Africa. We didn't know where we were headed. We had no idea. We didn't know the Six-Day War was going on. We stopped in Rota, Spain, and picked up three linguists and NSA CIA type guy. The linguists were all, three of them were Marines. Two of them were blown to bits during the torpedo attack. One survived, Bryce Lockwood, and he had the full blast of torpedo coming at him too, but he survived, thank God. We got into the area on June the 7th, and the Israeli recon aircraft, Piper Cubs, whatever they had, DC-3, flying boxcar, if you've ever seen those, they would take pictures of our ship. They did this over and over on the 7th, over and over. They came so close to our ship, you could see the pilots. We'd wave at them, and they'd wave back. We were very, very happy to see the Star of David on those aircraft, because we asked for a destroyer escort from the United States Navy. And they said, you don't need an escort. You're a Navy ship. You have a flag on it. That's your protection, that flag. Don't you worry about nothing. Little did we know, we just got set up. We just got set up. On June the 8th, the same thing happened over and over again. Now, listen. On that ship, if you weren't working, you could be outside sunbathing. And here we are in the Mediterranean, beautiful, beautiful water. But you see the bombs going off. We were 12.5 miles off the Sinai. You could see the bombs bursting and the black. And he said, oh, my God, I'm glad we're here and not over there. Little did we know, at 2 o'clock, the attack began. I had just left the forward gun mount. We had a general quarters drill before that, because we drilled on that ship all the time to keep up our skills. And I loved it. I mean, I loved doing what I did, firefighting and things like that, damage control. I was in engineering, and I enjoyed that too. And at 2 o'clock, the attack began. I just left the forward gun mount where two men came up. The gunner's mate was there, manning the gun. We had 450 caliber machine guns. And David Skolak, because the sound power phones weren't working. Now, this is before the attack. He came up there. I said, hey, Skolak, go ahead and see if you can get this fixed. The old man wants it fixed. I stayed up a few minutes, and the old man was up on the bridge. And I said, hey, man, I got to go, because the old man did not like anybody standing around. You better be working or sunbathing. But not anything else. So I walk down the starboard ladder. I get to my workstation, was about 30 seconds away, and boom, the attack started. Just before that, they said, prepare to test the motor whale boat. They do that every day, make sure it works. And they did that, and I thought the whale boat blew up for some reason. I started to go out the hatch. I was right next to that. And this chief grabbed me by the back of the neck. He said, man, we're under attack. So I immediately hightail it to my repair station, repair two forward, to take over my duties. The chief, Thompson, he's passed now. He was the on-scene leader. I was assistant on-scene leader, and immediately I became the leader of those men that were left to put out fires, pull people, men off the deck, and try to save lives. The two men I just left were made into mist with direct hits on that gun mount. Within 3 seconds, they took out every tuning antenna on that ship. Within 3 seconds, our 450 caliber machine guns, port starboard, forward, and on the 03 level. They were gone. Every antenna was gone. And we're under constant attack. Now, remember this, those planes were unmarked jets. They were Mystere and Mirage jets, not just two jets. There was at least 30 sorties within 25 minutes. Terry Haldabardier was a radioman, and he took that one antenna offline, or we'd have never got a message out. He ran a long wire through to that antenna he took offline, got it back online, and this was about 10 minutes after the attack started, and the attack lasted by the airplanes for 25 minutes, over and over again. They dropped napalm on us. They did everything they could to kill us. Little did we know that was just to soften us up. Just to soften us up. We thought the attack was over. But Terry had gotten a message out, Rockstar, under attack by unknown jet aircraft. Rockstar, need help, help, help. This went out to as far as way as Vietnam. The 6th Fleet picked it up. They sent rescue aircraft from the USS Saratoga. Captain Tully, a good friend of mine, he's passed too. World War II veteran, fighter pilot. He's gone now, but his memory isn't. He lost his command because he sent help to us. McNamara called him back. And to his surprise, the America did not launch. They did not launch. About maybe 2 or 3 minutes after that, they launched aircraft from the America again, from the Saratoga again, and the America, before those planes even hit the horizon, they were recalled by LBJ. I don't give a goddamn, excuse my French, if those sailors die, will not embarrass my ally. Now, how did he know they were our allies? We didn't know who was attacking us, but he sure did. They set us up to be slaughtered. And the slaughter just started. We saw 3 mortar torpedo boats coming up towards us. Now, I'll remind you, we had Stars of David all inside that ship, because we wanted the Israelis to win. They were our allies. We wanted them to win. Little did I know then, when we saw the flag, that's the only time we knew it was the Israelis. I thought they were there to help us. No, they weren't. They were there to sink us. Now, they fire 5 torpedoes at us. I know where 2 went because I saw them. 2 went aft. Where the other 2 went, I don't have a clue where they went. But I know where 1 hit. On the starboard side in the research bases where the spies were. Now, these guys were the best, the cream of the crop spies in the world. The very best. And they never talked to us, and we didn't talk to them. It was 2 different crews aboard that ship, the spies and ship's company, which I was ship's company. They never talked to us. But those poor men were blown to bits. They were blown to bits when that torpedo hit. It picked the ship completely up out of the water. And it went down like this, and it starts going to the right, the starboard side. I thought it was going to roll over, and it just stopped by the hand of God. By the hand of God saved us. He saved me for this day. I think he saved all of us right here for this moment. For this moment. To expose what Israel and the United States concocted to get us into World War III. The attack from the torpedo boats lasted for an hour and a half. We had three flags we put up. Two were shot down on the initial. There were 5x8 flags, big flags. They shot two of them down. They put another flag up. I didn't personally, but the signalman did. A 7x13, which is called Holiday Colors. You could see it for miles and miles and miles. The Israeli pilots said that, but sir, it's an American ship. It's an American ship. You have your orders, hit the ship. And hit it they did, and the consequences are well known. 34 men were slaughtered, 174 were wounded, including myself, and I was walking wounded. The others weren't. I've seen men blown in half right before your eyes. And there's nothing you can do about it. We had nothing to fight back with, but our will and our wits and our belief in God to survive. In fact, when the torpedo hit, I told a friend of mine, Rick Ametti, he was in the same division I was in damage control. And we were there. He said, prepare for a torpedo strike. And then that's a little bit different than prepare for a torpedo hit because we know it's coming. We have our hands on the bulkheads. Boom! It was deafening. You couldn't believe the explosion. And they circled the ship, and they circled the ship, and circled the ship over and over and over again, firing at our firefighters, me, stretcher bearers, people that were trying to get men off deck to save their lives. It was horrific. It was horrific to see your brothers being blown to bits and killed. It was horrific. When the torpedo boats finally got through with us after an hour and a half, we thought it was over again. No, it wasn't. Here come the Israelis again in troop-carrying helicopters to finish us off. We thought they were going to rope down or ladder down, whatever, but they were. I was on the starboard side. I saw them hovering over the starboard gun mount. And I just looked at him. You know, I figured I was a dead man anyway. And he did the same thing back to me. He went like that. He smiled. And all of a sudden, they were gone. Boom. They just took off. I guess the gig was up. You know, they couldn't sink an old World War II cargo ship converted into a spy ship with their torpedo boats, with their aircraft, Mysterio Mirage jets, dropping napalm and everything else they could on us. There were holes in the deck of the ship going, I mean, all you could see is daylight all around you. Boom, 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 boom. Nothing but daylight. And this one fella, I won't even mention his name because he infuriates me. But he says if they really wanted to sink that ship, they would just drop metal or hard bombs, and it went straight through, and you'd be done. Well, okay, what does a 40x40-foot hole do? What do five torpedoes do if they weren't trying to sink us? That was the whole plan. It was cooked up by LBJ, Levi Eskel. He was the prime minister then of Israel, and a cabal of people in our government. Once the USS America and USS Davis and USS Massey came alongside, course, the aircraft carrier was about a couple miles away. They flew the helicopters over to pick up all the dead and wounded. And there were scores of them going to different places. They sent them all over the world for definitive care. They split up the crew so we'd never talk. I stayed with the ship 2 days out at sea after they took the wounded off and the dead, except the ones that were in the torpedo hole. Here comes Admiral Isaac Kidd and Ward Boston doing a board of inquiry. And he got us in small groups. I was in sick bay with five other guys. And we felt kind of relieved because he took his stars off and he threw them on the stainless steel table. It ran out like a bell. It really did. I said, wow, this is pretty cool. He says, I'm just like your dad. Just please tell me everything you saw and heard. And I did, as everybody else did. And he got right in my face, and he says, I'm going to tell all you SOBs, if you ever repeat a word you just said to me to anybody, I'll make sure you end up in prison, Leavenworth, or worse. You know what worse means? I say, yes, sir, I do. So they beat us up. The Israelis beat us up, and our own government beat us up mentally, telling us never to talk about it. When you just see your brothers slaughtered before your eyes. How can anybody not feel compassion or horror seeing your brothers slaughtered and not talk about it? But I didn't talk about it for almost 18, 20 years until I married my wife, Lisa, and I never even told her I was in the military. I read a letter from Stan White, Master Chief E9, about the USS Liberty, and I said, wow, if he can speak, I'm going to start speaking. I haven't shut up since. It's my goal. My brothers can't speak, but I can. When you've got two crooked governments, the government of Israel and the government of the United States set us up to be murdered to start a World War III, that's about as bad as it gets. If we go down, the world's completely changed. There were Russian sub under us that was ready to nuke Israel, the Temple Mount. They needed a reflective to hit, and they were ready to do it. But us not thinking by the grace of God is why I'm here. And it's a great honor. And you know what? There's so many different things. Have you started that slideshow yet? Oh, okay. Oh, you have? Thank you. By the way, thank you, Felicia. God bless you. Navy Court of Inquiry, Rear Admiral Isaac Kidd. Navy Court of Inquiry, per Captain Ward Boston, Kidd told him he believed the attack was deliberate, and the Israelis knew the ship was American. New York Times, 2002. Captain Ward Boston, I feel the Israelis knew what they were doing. They knew it was American ship, U.S. Navy ship. We were identified by Israel as a friendly American ship hours and hours before the attack. Their excuse was they took us off their war table. They changed the watch and didn't inform the other watch commanders we were in the area, like anybody believes that. They just took us off and forgot we were there. That's so BS. Richard Helms, CIA director. It was no accident. Clark Gifford, no accident. Dean Rusk, Secretary of State, no accident. Marshall Carter, former security administrator director, NSA, no mistake. Lewis Battle, no mistake. Professor Hayden Pake, no mistake. FBI officials. FBI officials counter the friendly spying can be as damaging as spying for the enemies of the, they note in 1967. When Israel just deliberately attacked the electronic intelligence ship, USS Liberty. So the FBI knew it, the CIA knew it, everybody knew it, but they covered it up. Thomas Moore, dear friend of mine, very good friend. He was a very highly decorated man. He was former chief of staff twice. He's the only admiral that ever had command of this Southern Command and the Pacific Command, not the same time, but different times, and then became two terms chairman of Joint Chiefs. Captain McGonagall, please do not release Jonathan Pollard to the government of Israel until and unless the government of Israel acknowledges in writing and publicly the government of Israel armed forces deliberately attacked USS Liberty AGTR-5. Now, the captain received the Medal of Honor, and he deserved it. I saw him in action. Brave man. He was hit. Great man. But he was coerced. Our government coerced him to tone it down. I know what they said to me. What did they say to him? There's no telling. Another friend of mine, Captain Booger of the USS Pueblo, which is in North Korea right now, who I was talking to Mark about it, he's been on that ship. By the way, thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure talking to you. He said, they'd never been captured if they'd known about the USS Liberty. It was so tightly covered up, and it still is today, that people simply believe that Israel did it by mistake. No, it was a pre-planned attack to kill us all and get us in a lot of trouble, more trouble than we ever thought of. We were close to a nuclear war. There were SAC aircraft in the air, headed to Cairo, 6 hours before we even got attacked. So the mighty IDF, in this two-hour bloodbath, they couldn't sink an old World War II ship. And they couldn't, I bet they're still scratching their heads. They can't figure that one out. Has anybody in here know any survivors from a torpedo attack? I know one in here. I talked to Indianapolis. I guess I'd call him an expert. There's one survivor left. He's 98. They hit that ship with one torpedo. It was a big ship, too, and it brought it down immediately. But that ship, our ship, took all that, stayed alive. And that's why I'm here, because of the gallant crew of the USS Liberty. These are my shipmates and brothers. There's not very many of us left. There's probably 50 or so. I have a crew of 294. 34 were killed initially, 174 wounded. I helped in operations that night with Doc Kiefer. He was hitting his stomach, his abdomen. He had a life jack around it to hold his guts in. He was hitting both legs, knees. He stood on those legs for 17 hours operating on people that were losing their lives or any hope of life. I helped in one operation. One of the operations I helped with Doc was a man named Gary Blanchard. He was hit, and he was hit bad. He got hit in the kidneys, blew his back out. Doc cut him open. And, well, before that, he says, rub my feet. My feet are hot. I took his socks off, rubbed his feet, tried to get some circulation. Went over to the left side of him. And he looked at me, he says, you think I'm going to live? And I said, no, I don't think you are, man. Doc cut him open, and he was dead. Cut him open like a deer. I used to hunt. I know what it looks like. But that's what it looked like. We put a few stitches in him, Doc did. Put him over the side, and it went on all night for 17 hours. Help never got there for 17 hours. They left us out there alone. They didn't even send a Piper Cub over there to see how we were doing. That's how bad it was. They could care less. They did not care. And our government still doesn't care. They do not care. They tried to silence us. They tried to murder us. They tried to call us anti-Semites, Jew haters, Nazis, anti-Semitic pigs, jihadists. I mean, I can go on and on and on. But we're none of that. We're none of that. What, all we want to do is tell the truth to America. You deserve the truth. You paid the taxes. It's your money. And you should be able to seek redress from your government and say, hey, wait a minute. It's been 58 years. Coming next June, we're going to have a reunion in Norfolk, Virginia. I'll bring that up again in a minute. But they never have. And I've written so many presidents. I only got one letter back from Bill Clinton. And he never addressed my letter. He gets, I don't know if it was up there, but he never addressed my questions. He just sent me a nice little note. Like, come on, man. And he's the only one I ever got an answer from, including Ronald Reagan. I figured he would help us. I put a full-page ad in, or I didn't. A donor did. And I was president then, too. I'm four-time president of LVA and former chairman. So I don't give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm almost 80, and I ain't giving up. And my family stands behind me. I know you all do. And listen, I'm not here to really beat up on anybody, but when you do something like that so horrific and covered up for all these years, if it was so easy, why didn't the government of the United States just say, okay, we'll investigate it, as they should have? In 7 days, they had a seven-day board of inquiry. In 7 days, they figured out, oh, okay, it's a mistaken identity. But no, they were ordered by Johnson to find it. In fact, John McCain's daddy was in on that. He was Admiral John McCain, Jr. And he said, make sure the crew's silenced and make sure it's a mistaken identity. Now, this attack, like on the USS Stark and Cole, and they had a full investigation in depth, not the USS Liberty. Oh, it's all wrapped up in 7 days. A real investigation would have taken over several years to figure all this out, but no, they would not do that. They would not do that. And there's still silences. Trying to silence us. You know, last December, I had the honor of spending time with Candace Owens on her show. A wonderful woman. A kind woman. And a faithful woman of God. They're attacking her like I've been attacked. She's telling the truth. Everybody's got a right to say something. That's what's great about this country, until they take it away, and we're close to it now. We're very close to it. When they make laws that you can't talk about another group of people, I don't care if they're Asian, Black, whatever, Korean, Arab, you better not talk about Israel, or you're an anti-Semitic pig. And that's just exactly the way they feel. Look what's going on now at these colleges. I mean, people see what's going on in the world. They see what's going on in the world. And the USS Liberty is a spearhead, the hot, red-hot spearhead to breaking this hole open before we all die. And with your help, that's going to happen. With your help, that's going to happen. And whoever out there in TV land, don't forget us, because we're here. We ain't leaving. My greatest fear, well, I guess it's not really a fear. My biggest disappointment is our own government. We've succeeded our power to a foreign country. Israel controls us. They control the Congress. They control the Senate. They control our money. We don't control our country. The Zionist state does. Does that make them the real bad people? No, the real bad people are the people letting them do it. That's the people, the real bad people. I mean, if you see anything in Gaza, and I'm not an expert on it, but I'll tell you what. I've seen these pictures, and it brings me to my knees with sorrow and pain for innocents being starved and bombed and burned and beat up and raped and robbed. I'm tired of it. This whole country should be tired of it. Our passion and attachment to the Zionist state has got to stop. My greatest hope is that I live long enough to see some kind of justice, not just for me, but the whole crew. I'm here representing the crew. I'm the president of this association. And those men that died couldn't speak, but I could speak for them. And the men that were old now, they're all dying off, or, you know, the diseases and whatever, it happens in life. We all know that. We're all going there. Of course, you guys are all young. But I know a lot of you in here got some gray hair, and I'm sure you remember the USS Liberty. But you don't remember the cover-up. You heard what you heard, and you believed it. But it's not the truth, folks. This is one of the most criminal, terrible acts committed on a flagged American ship in American history. We're the only ship in American history that's never had help come to it when they're under attack. That's what they did. They left us out there to be slaughtered by the Zionist state, blame it on Egypt, and bring us to war. That's why those SAC aircraft were on the way. They were ready. The only thing that saved us, we didn't sink, and they didn't count on that. They did everything they could do to silence us by intimidation, threats, and evil words. That's what our own government did. The crew of the USS Liberty is the most decorated crew in the United States naval history for a single engagement. None other but the USS Liberty. Nobody knows about it. From the Medal of Honor on down. Navy Cross. Silver Stars. Bronze Star with a V. Combat action. And we got a presidential unit citation from, guess who? LBJ. I tore it up. I want nothing to do with that guy. He left us, he left the world in bad shape. We don't need presidents to send our young men and women in war all for the sake of the Zionist state. And that's what we're doing. I think you all know that. I hope you do. That's what they're doing. They want us to bomb Iran. They want us to take them out and all that shit. Israel will probably do it themselves. Of course, it won't be clandestine. The American military will be behind it. I really want to thank all of you for being here, and thank you, Tom, for your gracious support. Everybody here has been so friendly and nice to me. Boy, I'll tell you, I wear you, all of you, with a badge of honor. They can call me anything they want. Oh, by the way, I got my pin. I'm now a member. So I would encourage all of you, if you would help us, don't write your Congress. They're going to lie to you. They always do. I put the pressure on where, send it right to Trump. He probably won't listen. But I've tried everything. The crew has tried everything. We love our country. We love our Lord. We love our families, all families. And when they attacked us, they attacked all of you. You attack an American flagship. You attack an American flagship. They attacked all of us. Not just us, but that American flag they shot down twice. That's what they did. So if they can get by that, if you get by with that, they can get by with almost anything. And they are right now. I will ask if you have any questions. I'll take a few questions, and I'll relieve you. By the way, case closed. I rest my case.